is the leader, an Aaron that you should speak unto the children of Israel. Watch here now, read on, brother.
That they bring me an offering.
That they bring me
an offering.
Are we all there? An offering. Huh? The word offering means you give to, in this case to God, that they bring me an offering. Wait. Somebody didn't get that. You notice you cannot just gallon so. Wait. Sorry. Oh, Lord. Yes, I'm a countryman. When you're serving God, you cannot just gallon so. How did the phrase so that beggars have no choice, something like that? How go? Beggars are not choosy, are not choosers. That's right. but if God, I beg them so, where God I make stipulation, we will soon deal with that. Here the Almighty God says, I want an offering. You must give me something. But the Almighty God is telling from whom he does not want that offering. Are we all there? Who was reading? It's one of the Wilson. Okay, is it one? Okay, read, brother.
Every man that giveth it willingly.
God wants it from the willing giver. Are we? It's the same with worship today. When worship time comes around, Christians should want to come because we are coming out to worship the Almighty God. When you look for excuse at home and permit every little thing that comes up to hold you from worship, it means you do not worship God willingly. You're glad when you have excuse not to come out. You think God doesn't see through that? Of every man that give me the offering willingly, that's the person from whom you should take the offering, Moses. Read on, the brother.
That giveth it willingly.
With his heart.
He shall take my offering.
That's the person from you who you should take the offering that is offered to me. Read on.
And this is the offering.
This is the offering.
Which he shall take of them.
Which you shall take from the Israelites.
Gold and silver and brass.
Did you say gold?
Gold.
Huh?
Gold.
You think God wants a little cheap aluminum? No, sir. Gold.
And silver.
And silver.
And brass.
And brass.
And blue.
And what?
And blue.
Blue, that's color, no?
Blue.
And blue.
And purple.
And purple.
And scarlet.
Stop there, brother. That is what verse? Step down to verse 8 and 9.
And let them make me a sanctuary.
Let them make me a sanctuary. You know what they were making? You have heard about the Ark of the Covenant. The passage, the two verses he's about to read will give you. The Ark of the Covenant was a tent, like built in, movable. Something looked like a tent, but within it was the agreement that God made with Israel and some other things that were significant and important to the Israelites. That ark represents God's presence among the Israelites as they travel from Egypt to the Promised Land. For 40 years, that was a movable thing that they had to carry with them. to make it. Wait. Have you noticed what I have noticed? The Almighty God didn't send the material from heaven directly. The gold and the silver and the brass and the purple and the blue, God did not send that down from heaven by angel. That had to be taken from what the people owed. It was their silver, it was their gold. God would have it no other way. It had to cost them. Read, brother.
Let them make me a sanctuary
that I may dwell among them. It must be made just the way I show it to you. I give you a blueprint, a pattern. Don't go Moses and make it the way you like, the way you want, or the way the Israelites wanted. Make it after my pattern.
And the pattern of all the instruments thereof.
Do you know the very instrument the Almighty God told them how to make it? Wait. Did you know that the Almighty God has a pattern for his church today? Did you know that we cannot preach what we like or what we want? In fact, let me turn to the writing. Do you know that wherever in the world you go and find a true church of Christ, we cannot raise money just any and any way? Wait. Do I need to come close by you? We don't have raffle in the Church of Christ. We do not have money-making program in the Church of Christ. Are you there? The church doesn't make money. It has to be the way God fixed it. Members make money, and from what they make, they give, and that's how the church carry on its business. That's the way God fix it. Wait, let me just drop this alarm. You see, brothers and sisters and visiting friends, any way the church get involved in making money, before long there will be conflict of interest. The church would become so bogged down with making money that we forget the main duty of the church to win soul. You get it? Making money and winning soul would be competing. And you know which one would win out? Making money would win out. I wish I have time to tell you more about the true church that you can read of in the Bible. We cannot just come and preach what we feel and what we like. Wait! We cannot just come and preach to please you. We preach to meet your God-recognized need in Jesus Christ. When we tell you that you must be baptized in order to be saved, wait, me not finish with that. And you must be properly taught before you can be correctly be baptized. We're not telling you just what we like or feel. We are telling you what the Word of God teaches. In fact, since I'm here, let me just drop this back. Do you know there's some people in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, that had to be baptized over? What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? You mean they were baptized already? Yes. But when Paul, yes, the greatest witness probably Jesus Christ of it, when Paul met them and asked them a simple question, he realized that the religious teaching they received before, that religious teaching was incorrect. So it made their baptism unacceptable to God. They had to be baptized over. All what I'm saying over the past minute or two, you know, members here will tell you that I'm a kind person. I always like to give brother. And I'm just pointing out to tell you that we cannot do in the Lord's church just what we like and what some church father handed down. No, sir. This is why the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, chapter 1 and verse 8, that if an angel, are we there? If an angel from heaven come and preach any other gospel to you than that which we there refer to the apostle, which we have preached unto you, let that angel be accursed. Somebody didn't hear that. So we cannot just preach what we like and what you want to hear. We have to preach to you what the Almighty God says we must preach. May we have it, brother? Did you read verse 8 and 9? I'm told yes. Verse 8 and 9 is showing us that the material cost, the financial cost of the Israelite religion had to come from the Israelite. It was not miraculously provided by God. And that is as a rule. Now, can we go on in the lesson? So the question posed by the Almighty God in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. What that question is again, brother?
Will a man rob God?
Will a man rob God? Do you understand the import of the question? That is, there's a lot in this question. For one, it is a timely and it is a relevant question. It is relevant to God's people today based on many considerations. The question posed tells us that robbing God is possible or likely. That a question like this surround robbing God, that God, through his prophet, posed this question. That heaven, that God would put this question to his people through his prophet, that tells us that robbing God is possible. Or it is likely. In fact, in this case, they were not that the question of robbing God was possible among the Israelites, but it was likely among the Israelites. They were, in fact, robbing God. Are we all here? Who are they, Brother Mitchell? The Israelites. Did we hear in somewhere verse 6 or 7?
Even from the days of your fathers.
Wait. God is telling them how long they have been robbing him and committing other sin. Let me hear that verse.
Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances.
You see, one of the ways they strayed from God's ordinances or law was in robbing God. Are we all here? Just the mere possibility of robbing God should make us today want to find out, are we all there? How Or in what way can one rob the Almighty God? May I? As a child of God, the question that is posed by God through his prophet, the question is posed in such a way as to give us the idea, watch here, that no man or woman wants to be guilty of that sin. That's the way the question is worded, you know.
When the Bible says, will a man rob God? It is saying, what man or woman who dare to commit this sin? You notice the strong word that is used, rob. Rob. And that is to deprive a person of that which is his and not yours.
But Brother Mitchell, I thought what I work for is mine. It not belong to God. No, sir, it belonged to God. You were only made a trustee for it. As a child of God, when we become Christian, we become Christian acknowledging God's right over us and what we possess. And all the things we have belong to God. We are only trustee to manage it properly.
Rob, yes. Look at Exodus 19:5. Quick, brother.
Now, therefore, if he will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then he shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine.
Wait, I didn't hear that clear.
For all the earth is mine.
Do we need to read that over a dozen times? All the earth belong to God. Nothing belong to us. God only gives us what we have to use it wisely.
Let me give you one or two more passages on that point. Look at Exodus 13, verse 2 and verse 12.
Sanctify unto me all the firstborn.
Wait. The word sanctify means set apart. Set it aside for me.
All the firstborn.
All
the firstborn.
All the firstborn. Wait, all the sheep that was born first and the cows that were born first, set that aside for God. Everybody gets it? That's verse what?
Verse 1, verse 2.
Okay, verse 2, verse 12.
Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast.
Wait, everybody. That is the first child or the first animal, especially from the clean beast. What it says about that?
It is mine.
It is mine. That's God. It's not Moses here speaking. It is God saying it belonged to God. And up from the Almighty God, from the Israelite left Egypt, God was serving them this notice that they don't own anything. The sheep and the cows and cattle that they own, it belonged to God.
Verse 12 finish.
That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix. And every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast.
Everything that was born first belonged to God. But listen this passage in the book of Psalms chapter 50. What we are showing here is that, may I? Oh, Lord of mercy. Did you know that the Almighty God does not make demand from the ungodly? I'm not going to get into that, but when men and women turn their lives over to Christ, which means they, by becoming a Christian, one acknowledge God's right over his or her life. It is from us, the Christian, that God expects to bear the financial or material costs of serving him. The Almighty God did not make demand on the Gentile nation, but he made demand on Israel, his people. So, you're at verse what now, brother?
End of verse 12.
End of verse 12. And that was read already. Let us turn then to Psalms chapter 50. Verse 7 through verse 14. I want you to listen to this Psalms.
Hear, O my people.
Start again.
Hear, O my people.
Notice, it's not hear all you nation. Even though whatever any nation have, it belongs to God. But God makes demand on his people. Those who have acknowledged God's right over what they have. Start again, brother. Quick.
Hear, O my people.
Hear, O my people.
And I will speak.
And I will speak.
O Israel.
O Israel.
And I will testify against thee.
I will testify against you, Israelites.
I am God, even thy God.
I am what?
I am God, even thy God.
I am God, I am your God.
I will not reprove thee
for
thy sacrifices.
I will not reprove you for your sacrifices.
Or thy burnt offerings.
For your burnt offering.
To have been continually before me.
Who that you have offered continually before me?
I will take no bullock.
I will take no bullock, that is the male sheep.
Out of thy house.
Out of thy house.
Nor he goats.
Uh-huh.
Out of thy folds.
Uh-huh.
For every beast of the forest.
Wait. We are coming down to the point where I'll have to end the lesson. But I want you to listen, because many men and women do not understand God's sovereign right over their lives and over whatever we have. You don't move from the passage. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. That is, whatever is in the earth belongs to the Almighty God. And you and I have the privilege of benefiting from it, using it, only because the Almighty God gives us that privilege. So get back to the Psalms.
For every beast of the forest.
Every beast of the forest.
Is mine.
Is mine.
And the cattle upon a thousand hills.
And the what?
And the cattle upon a thousand hills.
The cattle upon a thousand hills. We in the country, we usually talk about the wild pig or the wild goat. There's no such thing for God, because he owns all of them. It belongs to God. Read, brother.
I know all the fowls of the mountains.
All the flying fowls, God knows them. They belong to God.
And the wild beasts of
the field. The wild beasts
of the field are mine.
Everybody hear that? When you go and catch a wild beast and slaughter it and believe it belonged to nobody, it belonged to God. God had to be telling Israel they belong to him. And it's only by his grace and blessing we have the privilege of benefiting from them. Read on, brother.
If I were hungry.
Wait, I like this. God says, if I didn't have anything to eat,
I would not tell
thee. If I get hungry,
I would not tell thee.
Wait, why would God not tell you that he's hungry?
For the world is mine.
Everybody hear that? You hear that? God says, because everything belongs to God. If I got hungry, I'm not going to tell you. You know how? Don't forgive me. Because what you give to God would, in the first place, belong to him.
We use our money and me work for it. Who give you the strength? Who provide the opportunity?
That's why it is so heinous to rob God for Christians. And I have not gotten to where yet. We must be careful that we are not like the Israelite. When they ask God, wherein have we robbed? It's like they were saying, God, me no see in what way we were robbing you. That's the way we think. Not realizing that in so many ways, in respect to our time, our money, our talent, our influence, our resources, we are robbing God. But if God should come down now in person and say you are robbing him, you'd want to argue with God. And you know what is the thing? We will probably get to this next week. We don't realize that there are consequences when you rob God. A lot of times when I'm saving up to buy that house, to buy that car, to buy that piece of land, to buy this or that, or saving up for my old age, and I rob God for that. Yes, save up, but don't rob God. Because it will never profit you or me when we rob God. That's right. Never. A lot of time, the very thing will rob God to save up for, when the time comes, we may have the money, but it does us no good. That's right. I'm saving this up for the days of illness, but the days of illness come, and all the money you have did not help you with that disease. Are we all there? The rich man in the Bible, when he said, goods you have much laid up for many years, and all he thought of was of self. I have much goods laid up for many years. God says, this night thy soul is required of thee. Listen, God, now, whose shall those things be? Let us do all the saving up we can. But let us never rob God for those reasons. Because at the end of the day, it will fail. No man is ever the better when he rob God of his time. Because a lesson coming up within the next 2 or so weeks that's going to deal with time. Robbing God of our time. There are always many things that are so important, that are so urgent, we find time for them. But we make excuse when it comes time for us to be in worship. Oh, Lord of mercy. One or two more verses in the passage, rather quick now.
If I were hungry,
I would not tell thee.
For the world is mine.
The world is mine.
And the fullness thereof.
And the fullness thereof.
Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High.
You see, be thankful to God and pay your vow to God. Be a thankful person as you go through life.
Don't rob God of your talent, of your time, of your money, because it all belongs to the Almighty God.
Oh, there's so much to share. We will be coming back on some of these points when the Almighty God asks the Israelite to bring forth is offering. I believe I pointed out here that you will notice that both offerings and tithes are pluralized. We'll be looking at this another time. Very important point. But remember, the earth belongs to God and all the things that are in it. For the children of God, let us seek out to find out ways in which we might be robbing God and strive to avoid robbing God. Because it does not benefit any man or woman to deprive the Almighty God of that which belongs to him and that which he expects of us. But as we close, you know, the most important gift you have to give to the Almighty God, the most important gift you have to God is yourself. There is no greater gift than yourself. In fact, that's why God does not ask the ungodly to give to him. Because God wants that you give to him yourself first, and then that's after that he will have right over that which you have. Right now, you can become a child of God. In fact, you need to become a child of God today. Oh, my God, I think every one of us, every day we get up and we are being told of the random murder and the accident, killing from young children to young people to young adults. I mean, every day. You and I do not know what time we are going to be called home to eternity. But do you know what God's word teaches us? Give your life to Jesus Christ now while you have the chance. You can come today believing, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ's name, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin. Today, you need not put it off until next week. You know why? Next week or next day is promised to none of us. But right now is given. Let us stand, and as we sing, Jesus Christ, in love, in grace, in mercy, calls you right now.
590.
590.